it's Friday and it's time for another movie retrospective. Doing another old one today. You guys seem to like Martin that we did last week. So this week we're going to do sort of a, I guess I'd call it a cult classic.
It's a weird movie.
Even though it's kind of like, I know this is kind of a weird thing to say, but it's almost like a forgotten cult classic.
Yeah, I liked this movie.
I liked it a lot.
It was a weird movie because it's like a low budget movie done really well.
Yeah.
But it's also kind of got a really high budget for a low budget movie. It's a weird. It is
a very weird juxtaposition. Yeah.
And it's British, which helped a lot. Yeah. The British know how to make a good low budget movie, you know, kind of like they did with Star Wars, A New Hope. And what's funny is that the guys that worked on A New Hope also did this one. So it does kind of have a weird feel to it that I think you guys will enjoy.
Yeah, it's kind of like, it has a strange pedigree. It came out in 1985. It's called Life Force. It was directed by Tobe Hooper, who is an American, obviously, but he's probably best known for Texas Chainsaw Massacre, obviously. But a few years prior to this, he had actually done Poltergeist, even though Steven Spielberg is usually credited with Poltergeist. But I think Tobe Hooper actually sort of kind of directed it. But, you know, there's still a lot of controversy there. So this is almost like sort of like Tobe Hooper being given a whole shit ton of money to do pretty much whatever he wanted. And what he wanted to do was like a B picture or like a Hammer movie, essentially.
Yeah.
Sort of.
And it's being made by Canon. And Canon is normally known for really cheap, like Chuck Norris type action
Movies. Sly Stallone, I think they did Over the Top.
Yeah. And that Canon.
Very 80s break into Electric Boogaloo. That might have been Canon too.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you don't watch Canon for heavy, you know. Shakespearean style entertainment. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
This is just, you know, let's put that Sly Stallone flick in there. Pass that keeler. It's that kind of stuff.
Let's watch Chuck Norris in his beard destroying whole villages.
Yeah, and it seemed like most of it was marketed towards teenage boys, actually, a lot of it. You know, which that's cool. If you were growing up in the 80s, you know what a Canon flick is.
Yeah. But I guess what Canon wanted to do, they sort of wanted to play with the big boys, you know what I mean? Because they'd made quite a lot of money, like making these cheap knockoff action movies. And I think they wanted, you know, by the time the mid-80s rolled around, they wanted more respect.
Yeah.
So Life Force was supposed to be their kind of entry into
the
big budget Hollywood.
Yeah, this is their breakthrough film.
Yeah.
Where they're gonna.
Which, you know, it didn't quite work out like that, but.
No, it flopped.
It did. It flopped hard. But
it shouldn't have, though.
No, it's really such an interesting experience because.
Yeah.
Like I said, Tobe Hooper directed a very respected director. Also, they gave him $25 million and told him pretty much you can do whatever you want. One of the writers was, now this was based on a book by Colin Wilson called The Space Vampires.
Yeah.
Now, that was originally what they were going to call the movie, but then Cannon was like, no, we can't call it that because we wanted to class up the joint.
Yeah.
So let's call it Life Force instead,
which is the funniest thing because you're like 2 seconds into the movie and in the credits it says, based on the book Space Vampires.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, wah, wah, wah. You shouldn't have shown that. If you're going to change the title, don't show
or
that.
Or just show it really,
show it at the end.
Really small.
Yeah, show it at the end or something.
But yeah, so one of the writers of the screenplay was Dan O'Bannon, who obviously wrote Alien and also Return of the Living Dead. It's almost kind of like those two things combined like to make this movie because it's
It's like all those. I'm watching this shit and it's fucking hilarious. It's a vampire movie in space, okay?
But some of it's in space.
Yeah, some of it's in space. But the way it plays out, you start off, you're kind of watching Alien and then all of a sudden you're watching kind of like vampire movie. And then there's this really cute naked chick running around. And then you're watching Gorgo with miniatures of London getting blown up. Then you're watching Night of the Living Dead with a bunch of vampires.
Zombies.
And then you have Ghostbusters with a bunch of Ghostbusters stuff. It's just everything at once. It's in a way, it should have been a shit show. It's hard to follow the script in a certain way. Characters show up. They seem important. They're kind of important for a while and then you never see them again. replaced by other characters. It's just weird. It's a weird flick, but I thoroughly enjoyed it. I thoroughly enjoyed the way it looked and the way it felt. It was fun. Fun to watch.
Like you said, it's almost like, I don't know.
It's like a bunch of movies mashed together.
Yeah, this is like one of the weirdest things we've ever reviewed, because now I don't remember if I saw this back in the day. I probably did, because I remember the naked chick running around and I kind of remember some stuff about it. So I must have seen it on cable probably back in the 80s.
Yeah.
But I hadn't seen it since then. And then I kept hearing about it, like some of our other movie review channels we watch, like Oliver's Retrospectives and Brandon Tenold. Yeah. And they revisited this movie and I was like, God, I haven't seen that in a long time. I wonder, is that any good? And then it came up on Tubi a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, you can watch it for free on Tubi. Yeah, I'm gonna get a Blu-ray copy of this though.
Yeah.
It's actually good enough to own. It's a cool flick.
So I said, man, we should do a review of that because I really didn't remember anything about it. And it's just, like you said, in a way, on paper, it sounds amazing.
Yeah.
But it also sounds like a shit show.
It should have been an even shittier shit show, because a script like this and what's happening, the things that happen in this movie are normally executed with really low budget special effects. In this case, it's high budget special effects. Pretty good.
Especially it looks pretty good.
Especially for the day. I mean, the alien shots look like something on par with H.R. Giger's Alien.
Yeah.
Scenes of that in certain ways. The miniature shots of London getting screwed up look like something kind of... They're good miniatures. And it's weird, you know, alien ships are attacking and weird crap like that. It's like something kind of like out of Gorgo. Kind of, you know, and then
not that cheap though.
But then you have a bunch of Night of the Living Dead zombies, and then there's something weird about it where you kind of get this Day of the Triffids type feel. Remember that flick? Kind of like that.
Yeah.
The British have a certain way of doing things.
I got a very Hammer, Quatermass in the Pit vibe.
Yeah.
That's the first thing I thought of. And when I went and read some other reviews, I was like, oh, so I wasn't wrong, because a bunch of people came up with that. I was that was what I was reminded of.
It started to feel like Ghostbusters. You know, when New York's being attacked by ghosts.
Yeah, and toward the end. You see the
ghosts going, right. It had that vibe, and I think somebody from Ghostbusters was actually, they borrowed some stuff from Ghostbusters, I would think.
They borrowed some stuff from a lot of movies. Kind of
like with Zool, you know, and...
Yeah,
you know,
with all the light and the souls coming out of...
Yeah, the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. In this case, they replaced it with zombies, you know. It was...
I mean...
But I actually thoroughly enjoyed this movie, though. I remember seeing it as young, my 20s, and looking at it and just... I was kind of nonplussed and not that interested at the time, but we were just being inundated by high budget movies that were kind of like this.
Yeah.
So this just seemed to be one of the other ones. I really didn't pay much. I didn't really remember it. I remember that naked chick. How could you forget that?
Well, that's what I mean. I think when you talk about Life Force, it seems like Matilda May, you know, who's the woman that's in this.
Hottie.
Yeah.
Skinny, but hottie.
She walks around like naked most of this movie. And I think that's pretty much the only thing people remember about it that haven't seen it in a long time. I mean, it is very memorable.
She was very 80s. That was like 80s standard of beauty.
She was a French model.
Kind of fashion model. Yeah. Like a fashion model that guys would like, straight guys would like. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Nowadays, you know, they'd put like some girl on there with some badonkadonk. You know what I mean? She's kind of skinny by today's standards, but she was cute.
Yeah.
And that was the draw, you know?
Yeah, like
teenage
I said.
Guys are going to sit there.
Yeah, they're like, okay, I'll sit through that whole movie watching Matilda May walking around with her titties hanging out. Yeah. All right.
You got Patrick Stewart in it.
Patrick Stewart.
He kisses a man on screen.
This is very funny. This is probably after Matilda May nakedness, like a distant second. For things this movie is remembered for.
It's an all-star cast.
Is Patrick Stewart is in this briefly, and he plays like the head of an insane asylum, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And he actually, it's kind of a complicated thing to get into.
Yeah, you just have to see the movie.
He sort of kisses Steve Railsback.
Yeah.
Who is kind of the main character.
It's not a gay thing. But,
yeah, it's
but
kind of like a body possession.
He doesn't kiss the guy. The guy kisses him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But Patrick Stewart likes to joke that was his first on-screen kiss with Steve Railsback.
You know what? Check this out. Patrick Stewart was always the same age.
He looked exactly the same.
That motherfucker was 45.
This movie came out in 1985.
Yeah.
He was
45 for his whole life.
He just came out of the womb looking like that. Yeah. Some people are like that.
He still looks like that. Far as I can, I haven't seen him recently, but a couple years ago, he still looked like he's 45.
Yeah, it's like he got to a particular age and just stayed there.
Yeah.
The same thing happened to, who am I thinking of? John Carradine?
Yeah.
Is it John Carradine that I'm thinking of?
I think he always looked like that.
Like, I saw, there was a really, really, really old movie that he was in, like something Shark, Prisoner of Shark Island or whatever, where he looked super young in that. But then every movie I saw him in subsequently, he was just like, it was like he went from 30 to like 60 and then stayed.
Yeah.
And then he just stayed looking like a 60-year-old until he died.
Also got that British guy in there that if you saw Clockwork Orange, it was the guy who grabbed Alex's nuts.
Who punched Alex in the nuts.
More like grabbed him, smacked him on his nuts. It was like some...
Yeah, that was like his guidance counselor type of thing or his...
Punk games.
Yeah.
Gay games.
Yeah, that guy was smacking in this. Him. There's really like, there's a lot of like big British actresses. Like Frank Finlay is in this.
There's one American guy.
Peter Firth is in it.
Yeah, we don't know who he is. One American guy that we don't know who he is. That's what I was saying.
Steve Railsback.
Yeah.
He's been in a shit ton of movies.
I don't know who that is.
Yeah, he's from Texas. He's been in a shit ton of movies. The sad thing about this, like you said, I mean, 1985, this was only like a year after Ghostbusters came out. Yeah. I think Cocoon came out the same year as this and kind of whipped its ass. So there was a lot of this sort of, I hesitate to call this a sci-fi movie, although it does have sci-fi elements.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's kind of all over the place.
It's a damn circus.
It is.
It's good, though.
But it's a good circus.
Yeah.
Like, it shouldn't work.
It's aged very well for, you know, what it is. The movie, another thing I loved about the movie is that it delivered instantly. As soon as you start seeing the movie, there's shit to look at. And there's not a single boring frame in this fucking movie.
Yeah, there is always something.
There's always something to look at and
crazy
gawk at. Even
going
if it's
on.
Just British soldiers in kind of the old 80s or 80s uniforms with Styrog machine guns and just, you know, cool shit. British guys being British as fuck. It's just, it's got everything you see that you want to see in a movie like this.
Well, and it's funny because I think the original cut was quite a bit longer, but even at 128 minutes or whatever this is, it might be a little bit shorter than that. It never drags. There are no slow parts.
No.
It pretty much, at the beginning, you're in the ship and it's like within 2 or 3 minutes, they're like, oh, we found this ship and there's like, it was on fire. There's all this shit going on, you know, because this crew goes up in a space shuttle and they find this ship that looks like, they said they based it on an artichoke.
Yeah, it looked kind of like an umbrella, backwards umbrella flying at you.
It looked very, it looked organic.
Kind of like a dandelion.
Like an organic spaceship.
Dandelion had a bit love child with a vampire bat on top of a umbrella flying backwards. Kind of like that thing from 2001, A Space Odyssey, with a Discovery and has a big, long spaceship, but it was made by aliens.
That's kind of the cool thing about it, too. And then when they go inside the ship, I mean, the shots in there are gorgeous. I mean, the way when they first go in there and there's like all those like bat creatures hanging there.
Yeah.
And it's like all the weird shit in the background.
The aliens looked like bats, vampire bats. And the existence of these things, they'd evidently been fucking with humans for a long time, created the legends of vampires. They got India somehow.
You know, sounds legit.
Not everything is really clear to me with this movie. I believe I was drinking some Kila at the time we were watching this movie. I think I was. So I was just rolling with it. I wasn't trying to analyze the script. It's not that kind of movie. You know what I mean? It's one where it is taking itself seriously, all right?
Yeah,
but
it's
you
not
don't take it that seriously because it's cool to look at. It's the kind of movie you could just put on the video system at a nightclub and just roll it on repeat, and it would just be a good background visual
for a club. Because a lot of the shots are
every
really...
shot is cool to look at, so you could,
Yeah, and like I said, you know, there's a woman walking around naked most of the time. There's like, you know, there's all the bats. There's, oh, and I forgot to mention, too, probably my favorite effect in this, other than the infamous scene where the vampire like sucks all the all the blood out of, you know,
sucks all your life force energy out.
Well, no, I mean sucks all the blood out and then turns into
a blood woman.
Yeah,
and then it falls on the ground.
There's like no reason for that to happen, but it was
just kind of reminded me of something out of Dracula, you know, like where, you know, Dracula turns into a pile of rats and falls to the ground and runs
away.
Like,
it was that kind of thing. It was just kind of like an effect that they put in there because they're like, this will look really cool. We don't really, you know, and it did look really cool.
Yeah.
But on one of my favorite, but other than that, my favorite effect in this is what the corpses look like after Matilda May. She doesn't have a name in the movie. She's just called Space Girl.
Yeah, in the credits, Space Girl.
Yeah. She's a vampire, but they're like psychic vampires. They basically suck out your life energy or your soul or whatever you want to call it.
Blood's involved somehow. Remember that? Because it did things with blood and being you could get all your energy somehow sucked out of you, and if the body wasn't destroyed, you'd come back as a vampire. It did and spread. Grab,
yeah, it did spread.
It did spread. It just, it wasn't so biological in this story. It was more energy-based.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
I really liked the corpses after, you know, after they had their all their psychic energy sucked out, those animatronics looked really good.
Yeah, they were, you know what I mean? They weren't quite as good as what you could do today.
Well, no, of course not. It was 1985.
For the time, they looked really
good. For 1985,
and you look at them now and you go, yeah, they're puppets, but you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to roll with it. They look cool.
They looked really awesome.
Creepy looking puppets.
Yeah.
And that kind of adds to the charm of this movie. I think it's aged well.
I think so, too.
It's not a kind of movie where you're totally convinced by the special effects, but that you're not going into this movie with that.
Yeah.
You're going into this movie that it's an art form.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
That's definitely what it is.
You just appreciate it for an art form.
It seems like, and I was talking to somebody on YouTube about this, it's kind of a shame how movies like this, I guess it's sort of got a small cult following now.
Yeah.
Now, like I said, this cost $25 million to make. They gave it to Tobe Hooper. It only made about $11.5 million back in the box office.
Yeah, it lost its ass.
It really, really lost its ass.
But it's been around for a long time. It's probably actually made that money back, I'm pretty sure. Just DVD and VHS sales.
You would think, like, by this many years later.
Yeah, HBO and Cinemax, cable, you know. It's probably made its money back. But the thing is Canon Studios doesn't exist anymore, so I don't know who owns the rights to the movie.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Yeah.
Although it got some decent reviews when it came out.
Yeah.
I think a lot of maybe audiences didn't really know what to make of it because, like I said, it's really not, it's not exactly a sci-fi movie. It's not exactly a horror movie. I mean, it just has so much going on. Like I said, from the beginning, it seems like a sci-fi. And then it's like a Hammer movie. And then it's like a big, like, then it's like a zombie, zombie apocalypse type of movie. And then you said it's got like Ghostbuster elements at the end. But it's like the whole city getting destroyed and like all these people getting zombified and all this other kind of shit. So it's like, it's super entertaining. It doesn't make a huge amount of sense. But if it's entertaining, who gives a shit?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It looks cool. The story's cool. I should say the guy that wrote the book, The Space Vampires. Dude, you called the book The Space Vampires. Okay, so I'm not sure how much of your judgment I can trust. He hated this movie.
He hated the movie.
He thought, he pretty much basically said, he didn't come out and say it, but he pretty much implied that he thought this was like the worst movie adaptation ever made of anyone's novel ever.
Yeah. I'd have to, I don't know the novel.
I haven't read the novel, so I don't know. I don't know how different the book is. I don't think it's all that different. I think all they did in the movie was that they updated it so it was like the space shuttle program because that was, you know, going on at the time, so they wanted to make it seem. Now, I think the novel was set in the future, whereas the movie is set in the present day.
Yeah.
Except, you know, we have better technology than we had in 1985, but it's not so much that, you know, that it seems like the future. Yeah. I had a feeling it was like present day.
I thought that they were trying to, you know, put it a few years into the future because they did have some pretty cool stuff on space shuttles. And didn't England have a space shuttle? Yeah, England had a space shuttle.
It was called Churchill. The Churchill, yeah.
Yeah.
It was like a US-UK,
right.
You know, a joint exploration mission.
The movie came out, what was it, 81?
85.
85, okay.
Yeah.
85, I mean, a lot of stuff was coming out at that time, and a lot of really good stuff had already come out.
Yeah.
So the competition was probably pretty stiff for this movie.
Oh, yeah.
85, you know, wasn't the 70s, so you probably didn't have as many people in the theater smoking pot before they went. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That helped a lot of movies, you know what I mean? That covered up a lot of crazy plot point, the plot holes and weird scripts, you know what I mean? Like the black hole, yeah, man, pass, you know, you can go see the black hole and man, you don't need a spacesuit to be outside. They're right near the black hole. Yeah, okay, yeah. It's just smoke near the black hole.
It's totally fine.
Yeah.
You know how that goes.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I will never forgive the black hole's director for allowing the actors to say, we don't want to wear the spacesuits.
They're so constricting.
They're so constricting. We don't want to wear the space.
We're just going to fly around
okay,
in space.
Okay, do the space scenes without the space.
Just do it.
Yeah,
God.
Just
no one will notice. Everyone's going to be too high to notice.
That really ruined that movie.
Well, although it pulls you out a bit.
Yeah, well, I didn't notice it as a kid because I think I saw it at about, 10? Okay, 10, 11 or something. I didn't really give a shit, you know, when I was 10 or 11. But as an adult, I really liked the rest of the movie.
Yeah.
But then I get that scene and the black hole and you're like, why the fuck did they do that? You know, idiots. You know.
That's the thing. It's like, I'm not one of those.
Budget flick for the day.
Yeah, you know? I'm not one of those people that's going to like nitpick every little detail, but something that's so obvious. I mean, everybody knows that you need a spacesuit to go be in outer space,
whether or not you're near the black hole or not.
I mean, you could have gotten away with it in the 50s when everybody's like, oh, it has air. Let's just take our helmets off. Let's walk around on the outside of the spaceship. You know,
I think they
mean?
Were trying to say, well, it's maybe we're slightly in another dimension.
It's
now.
In an oxygen pocket. Yeah. It's a big, huge oxygen pocket around the black hole.
Right. But I think that is ridiculous. I don't want to.
But yeah, but like I said, the thing about life force is that it doesn't have anything that stands out to me. Like, you know, it's a story about space vampires, so you can't be too, you know, hard on it. Because you're already suspending your disbelief. And really, there's nothing in there that stood out to me as like, oh, duh, you know what I mean? It was like that.
It's cool.
I was just rolling with it. I was like, yeah, okay, that's cool. She's sucking out the...
It must have
they're
failed.
They're sucking up the souls and...
It must have failed by a combination of stuff. One, it's a foreign movie. Two, probably had something to do with the timing of the release.
Yeah.
And the way the audiences were at the time. They may have been kind of sick of this type of movie at that time.
Yeah.
And probably it wasn't in the theater for very long, so it was probably taken out before it could get an audience. That happened a lot back then.
This, like I said, and I was talking to somebody on YouTube
about
this.
Other studios made them pull it so they could get their movie in it. Another movie came out. Something like that.
Like, you know, I was talking about how sometimes movies like this that are sort of off the wall, I think sometimes it takes them time
for the word to get out.
Find their audience. Like, you know what I mean? I think if people, you know, people are going to go to the theater and see something that's going to make zillions of dollars, it usually has to be pretty crowd pleasing.
Yeah.
I think something that's a little bit challenging or weird or something.
Well, think about this shit.
People tend to remember it fondly later on,
but not at the time.
But not at the time.
At the time.
It happens a lot.
At the time they're looking at it, they go, wait a minute, hold on, this is Alien and this is a vampire movie.
And it's a Hammer movie.
And it's a Hammer horror movie. And it's a zombie movie. And it's Ghostbusters. and it's Gorgo. You know what I mean? It's just and it's War of the Worlds because
there was a lot going on in the movie. There's a lot going on.
So I think it just kind of overwhelmed the sensibilities of kind of square ass people at 85, and they were probably sick.
Like I said, it's hard.
It's hard to get them to swallow everything. Now you could get a dude like Arnold Schwarzenegger and get him to believe crazy shit because you didn't take that seriously from the get-go.
This was obviously a serious movie.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
it wasn't like obviously a B movie. It looked slick.
Yeah.
It looked pretty much as good as, you know, everything else that came out that year.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it wasn't obviously like, oh, this is just a shitty, stupid, like direct to VHS.
It was trying to be everything at once.
Yeah.
So it didn't attract everyone at once.
Yeah. Well,
had it been a straight up vampire movie, it may have done better. If it had been a straight up alien movie, it probably would have done better.
I think the cross genre movies are always a hard sell.
Yeah, I think that's what happened.
And that's definitely what this is. I'm not even, like I said, I'm not even sure what genre this is exactly.
Was it sci-fi adventure?
I guess.
Sci-fi adventure horror movie?
Like I said, it seemed very much like a Quatermass, like a later Hammer crossover sci-fi type of thing.
Also, you know what? A disaster film. You know
that
what I'm
talking
too. About? Like a 70s disaster film.
So so there was a lot of elements going on that I think people couldn't really get a handle on. What is this? Like what's going on? Oh, and now there's zombies? What the fuck?
Happened in it. I'm not even totally sure if the script made sense. It convinced me that it made sense, but I'd have to
go back. It sort of made sense. I'd have
to see it again. I was under the impression that it made sense.
Well, honestly, I think it was fairly. I mean, the naked people that were in the cubes.
Yeah.
They were the aliens. Now they had been around for a really long time, and they basically just went from planet to planet and sucked everybody's souls out. That was like their food instead of blood. They were like vampires, but like psychic vampires. That's all.
Yeah,
I'm not sure.
I'm just talking about the way the story unfolded.
Yeah,
I was under the impression that it was making sense.
Yeah,
I think it did.
It largely made sense.
Yeah.
I mean, if you kind of pay attention.
I was enjoying it, so I wasn't analyzing it.
I'm gonna say, I'm not sure how the zombies factored in. I think
that's what I was talking about.
Yeah.
Where did shit like that come from?
Okay, do you know why I think the zombies were there?
Because they
couldn't afford to make a bunch of the desiccated looking corpses. So they just said, well, fuck it. We'll just do generic zombies. Because it's easier like for all the extras and stuff. Or they could argue that maybe the vampires didn't suck out all of their life force.
Right.
Just part of it. And then that made you kind of look like a zombie.
Because I didn't question it at the time. It's just next thing I know, we're in the zombie apocalypse.
Yeah.
I wasn't really sure where they came from.
Next thing you
I wasn't even really. I didn't know if I missed something. I didn't care. I'm just like, okay.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. It's one of those things where you're just like, all right, we're doing this now.
And then there's souls going through it, like out of Ghostbusters, blue ghost souls going. And I'm going,
like,
I'm
just getting sucked
in. And I didn't know what it was. I'm just going, all right, okay, I can roll with that. That looks cool. Kind of like something Italians would do. You know what I mean?
Where it's like, I don't have a clue what's going on, but it looks pretty neat.
Yeah, it looked all right.
It looks pretty neat.
But I was just enjoying it, and I'd like to see it again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. It's like, as I said, this was Tobe Hooper's. This was his first movie. He got a 3-picture deal with Canon, you know, because Canon was like, hey, class up the joint, Tobe. So he made this, and it was a flop.
Yeah.
But he still had to make 2 more movies for them. So he made Invaders from Mars.
Oh, actually, that was a good one. I like that.
It's a remake from an old.
I remember liking it.
Yeah, I liked it too. And Texas Chainsaw Massacre too.
That's evidently
which good. It's a horror comedy.
Yeah,
it's
a lot not of the like fans the first didn't one. Like it, but yeah,
it's a lot of fun.
It ended up on a lot of Skinny Puppy albums.
Yeah,
Skinny Puppy songs. Yeah, they were sampling from.
I first saw it at a slumber party, and it was like it's a hell of a lot of fun. That movie.
I'd like to get both.
Dennis Hopper's in it chewing the scenery like crazy.
Yeah. I didn't realize that was Canon.
Yeah, I didn't either, actually.
Right. So Canon did kind of improve a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I don't remember those movies being bad. I remember them being pretty good.
Yeah. So they, you know, their heart was in the right place. They knew what they were doing. It's just audience weren't ready to come with them on that.
I think Canon did some Death Wish movies, too.
Like they probably did. They probably
Death Wish 3 and the Italians did a Death Wish movie, too. I don't know if they did that with Canon, but one of the Death Wishes movies was basically like an absurd shoot-em-up, you know? Italian-style shoot-em-up. And it even had little Charlie Bronson.
Little Charlie.
He's like 5'4". Did you know that?
No.
Yeah, little Charlie Bronson. He just had that angry-looking face. Looked like it should be on a mole or something, you know? Like a little gopher face, you know?
Little gopher face.
Yeah, with his mustache and crackly voice, little bitty dude. That was the 70s, you know what I mean? You didn't have to take your shirt off in the 70s.
Oh, well, some people did. Cheston.
Cheston, yeah. But
he didn't have to.
Put the shirt back on, bro.
But he's like, but I want to take my shirt off. Come on.
Yeah.
But yeah, so seriously, if you are into, because this, like I said, this is one that's a little bit under the radar. I only remembered it because I saw it on a couple of other review shows and I wanted to revisit it because I hadn't seen it in so long. So if you're into kind of weird cross-genre vampire sci-fi.
Yeah, I give it two thumbs up.
Stuff with naked chicks in it. And you're into like British movies too, like, you know.
Yeah.
Then you would probably really dig this.
I only got 2 thumbs and I'll give them both thumbs up on this. What about you? 2 thumbs up or just 1 thumb up?
No, I definitely give it 2 thumbs up. I enjoyed the hell out of it.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty
good. And I don't think that was just the liquor talking.
No, it was cool. It was fine.
I liked it.
I want to see it again.
I do too. Yeah. But yeah, so as of this recording, it's actually on Tubi, so you can go watch it for free if you would like to, or buy it on Blu-ray. Do whatever you want. I don't care. But it's a good movie, and I definitely recommend it. And that'll do it for this installment of our movie retrospective. Remember, if you like the show, to like, share, subscribe on all your social media. If you'd like to financially support the show, you can check out our Patreon page at patreon.com/13oclockpodcast, or you can go to our blog, which is 13oclockpodcast.wordpress.com, and there's a link in the sidebar to a PayPal account if you'd like to give a one-time donation. Also, remember to check out our new t-shirt designs on our Zazzle store, which is www.zazzle.com/13oclock. And be sure to check out our regular episodes, which come out every Tuesday, and our movie retrospectives, which come out every Friday. We will see you next time. Bye.